we are going to be getting into our conversation. I realized, and I keep realizing, that whenever you're in the plan of God or in the will of God, there is oftentimes a supernatural supply of the Spirit. It doesn't have to be grand. It just has to be God's purpose and will. And I believe that the meeting we have this evening is like that. Yes. We are going to get into a series of conversations that I believe is going to strengthen our evangelisms. Feels like a camp meeting to me, actually. I mean, when I got in here, I was like, there's something about this meeting that looks like a camp meeting. But then, we are just going to enjoy it as it comes. So, it's a workers' meeting. And so, the idea is to equip us in the work that we have. Can we pray? Father, in Jesus' name, thank you for what you're doing in this place, and thank you for your grace. We ask for the Spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. The eyes of our understanding is enlightened as we follow through these teachings on evangelism. In Jesus' precious name we pray. Amen. So we're getting into our meeting. Like Kenneth Hagin says, there are different types of meetings. I'm going to take this very quick so that we can get into it by 8:30. We should be settled so that you can go back, come back again by 10 a.m. in the morning. So, there are different types of meetings. Different types of meetings. There are different types of meetings. And for every meeting, the Lord has an intent, or he has a purpose for that meeting. You know, when your boss calls you and says, can you meet me at Circle? Especially if your boss is a very busy person or a very surprising person, it is best you dress as though you are going somewhere important before you are surprised. Right? So you ask, oh, boss, please, we'll just... Where? Meeting. Okay. Boss, please, I wanted to ask, should I dress or dress? Right? Because you want to know the kind of meeting that you are attending. So, just as God calls for meetings, there are also different types and kinds of meetings. And the Church of Jesus Christ needs all of these meetings to do well and to fulfill God's purpose and plan for her. So like I said, Kenneth Hagin teaches this clearly, because, you know, sometimes we just try to box every kind of meeting together and it ends up not being purposeful enough. And then God's plan is not fostered when we do that. So as a church, it's important that we know the types and the kinds of meetings that we have, so we are always ready to receive what the meeting holds. So the first kind of meeting is what we call a believer's meeting. A believer's meeting. A believer's meeting. A believer's meeting or a Holy Ghost meeting. Now, in these types of meetings, of course, it's called a believer's meeting. So the people who are present are believers, right? Yes, the people who are present are believers. And the intent of a believer's meeting or a Holy Ghost meeting is to allow God's word taught, number one. God's word is going to be taught, number one. And the Spirit of God giving a free course in the meeting. So God's word is going to be taught in believers' meetings. And the Spirit of God is giving a free course in a meeting. Of course, primarily, the people who are gathered are going to be believers. So it is expected or anticipated that in those meetings, of course, sometimes there's likely an unbeliever or all are believers. But either of the case, the intent is that God's word is going to be taught and then the Holy Ghost is giving a free course. We see such types of meetings in 1 Corinthians chapter 14, verses 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verses 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verses 26. 1 Corinthians chapter 14. Verses 26. It's a believer's meeting or a Holy Ghost meeting. So whenever you hear it's a Holy Ghost meeting, it's a believer's meeting, this is what it's about. 1 Corinthians 14, verse 26. And the people who are going to be primarily gathered are going to be what? Believers. He says, how is it then, brethren, when ye come together, every one of you hath a psalm, hath a doctrine, hath a tongue, hath a revelation, hath an interpretation, let all things be done unto edifying. So in believers' meetings, when we gather as believers, we allow the Holy Ghost move freely in our midst. And it's going to be seen in people receiving and giving things one to another. These things there, or these expressions given, are going to be in psalms, they're going to be in doctrines, they're going to be in tongues, they're going to be in revelations, they're going to be in interpretations. So in believers' meetings, things like this happen. Everybody has something to give. You don't get into a believers' meeting and the intent is not to give. The intent is to give. The intent is to minister to someone. And also, of course, as you minister to someone, you are going to be receiving. So that's a believer's meeting. Number two, the type or kind of meeting is an evangelistic meeting. An evangelistic meeting. An evangelistic meeting where the reason for gathering will be for the purpose of saving the lost. Where the reason for gathering will be for the purpose of saving the lost. Of course, messages that are evangelistic in nature are going to be emphasized. There's a clear purpose of reaching the lost. Whenever we meet in evangelistic meetings, the intent is to reach the lost. That's the second type of meeting. Now, there's another type of meeting, which is the prayer meeting. It's the prayer meeting where the main focus and emphasis is on prayer. In those meetings, we don't have a lot of singing song services. No, the emphasis is prayer. When we gather for prayer meetings, we gather to pray. It's going to be prayer, 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 prayer. Now, why do we emphasize on these type or kind of meetings? Why do we emphasize on these type or kind of meetings? Because we know that God has a purpose for every meeting. Who calls for meetings and people gather? Imagine if I called for a church meeting, then you came and you saw screen projector here. Then I said, oh, sit down. Yes. play, then there's a Barcelona match. You'll be wondering, like, Pastor, is everything okay? Then you hear me saying, go, go, get the ball, get the ball. You know that, no, there's something wrong somewhere. Say, can you please tell Pastor it's a church meeting? Right? So there's a meeting like that. So prayer meetings, we gather to pray. We say, we are praying from 6 to 12. I realize that most meetings called prayer meetings are not really prayer meetings. You just go there and it's one song, 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 song. Then you pray small, then another worshiper comes. No. Prayer meetings, we don't even have time for songs. It's prayer. When we get into it, we are here to pray. Now, it's because of the type of meeting that we have today that we don't even have BVs with us. I didn't even sing. Because that's a type of meeting. God seeks to accomplish something in this type of meeting. It's not a sing-song service. Our worship meetings are on Sunday. Our Sunday meetings are worship services. But this type of a meeting is a different type of meeting. In fact, I wouldn't have needed a microphone except that I would shout. But that's the kind of meeting we are in, right? So there are prayer meetings where the intent is that whenever we gather for a prayer meeting, the intent is to pray. No revelation, 2 hours, prayer, 30 minutes, revelation, 1 hour, prayer, 30 minutes, revelation, 1 hour, prayer, 45 minutes. No. If we say we are praying 6 hours, we just come and say, brethren, we are praying for Legon campus and we are praying that God stretches forth his hands and thrusts more men into Lagos campus. Can we pray? 6 hours, then we are on it. That's a prayer meeting. It's not anything. We don't gather to say, oh, you know, the reason why you pray is because it's catatismos. Yay! No. When we gather, you save all your revelations and we just pray. Are you listening? So that's a type of meeting. Now, there's another type of meeting which is called a teaching meeting. A teaching meeting. Maybe in our camp, I'll give you verses where these are practically practiced by Jesus. But then we can see that in discipleship meetings. But then there are teaching meetings. Of course, where the teaching of God's word is much more emphasized. You know, stretched for a longer period of time. You see, my attention span is my attention span is just 45 minutes of concentration. Oh boy. Then when you come into a teaching meeting, in a teaching meeting, you just teach. 6 hours, you are on it. It's one thing after the other. One scripture after the other. Looking at it, there could be a few songs to just make you not sleep on us. But then a teaching meeting is very emphatic. Right? So there are teaching meetings. God's word is emphasized. God's word is emphasized. Now there are also types of meetings like discipleship meetings. Of course, where disciples are taught. It's exclusive for those who are given to some form of discipleship. Is a discipleship meeting. Then there's leadership meetings where the people who are primarily gathered are leaders. The conversations around leadership is going to be our main focus or our main emphasis. Leadership meetings is exclusive for people who have certain key leadership positions. Then, of course, the type or kind of meeting that we have is what we call a workers' meeting or a workers' convention or a workers' congress. And, of course, these are people who are supposed to hold some level of commitment in certain roles or responsibilities in the church. They have some responsibility in the usher's team. Music, follow up is a workers' meeting. Now, Jesus had these type of meetings too, where the people who primarily gather are going to be for specific tasks. He had meetings with a multitude. He had meetings with 70. He had meetings, of course, with the 12. Then he has meetings with the 3. All of those types of meetings are different type of meeting. If you heard him, you realize that what he was teaching in those meetings are pretty much different everywhere. So in today's workers' meeting, of course, like what we say, the intent is to have people who are supposed to be working. Now, the local assembly needs all these meetings. The local assembly needs all these meetings in place to be effective at the fulfillment of God's mission on the earth. So we have different types of meetings. Do we understand what I'm saying? Okay. Different types or kinds of meetings. Different types or kinds of meetings. And we need all of these meetings. That's why I set a meeting like this. Of course, I believe that by the time we're done here, we're going to be trained and equipped in our work of evangelism. So it's a workers' meeting. The workers' meeting is channeled towards making us effective at the work of the ministry of evangelism. So today we'll get into our conversation, and I'm saying this because I want you to be aware of the type of meeting that you are in. Right? So that it helps you to be able to do what God wants you to do. We're going to be looking at today, tomorrow, the ABC of evangelism. The ABC of evangelism. Of course, another could call that the basics of evangelism. The ABC of evangelism. Pastor, why did you call it ABC? Because ABC is Coco. And some of you are going to start paying school fees very soon. The whole term is only AD taught. The whole term, you say, what did you learn? Say, Z. So there is an ABC to it. It's quite basic. Some of you that you are paying for A and B the whole term. If you say A, they'll say A, B, B, continue. Mommy, it's finished. It's finished. So the ABC of evangelism, of course, we're going to be looking at that. The basics of evangelism. The basics of evangelism. And I'm trusting that you are going to be very interested in this particular conversation. Now, we'll take a few statistics. Right now, there are 8.2 billion people in the world today, right? And it's said that statistically, Christianity is about 2.5 billion. The knowledge of the world covers the sea. What that means is that we still have quite some numbers on our hands. Approximately 5.6 billion. The 5.6 are dispersed with Islam, Shintoists, Buddhists, all of those religions. So Christianity is 2.5 billion out of 8.2 billion. Now, out of this 2.5 billion, it is said that approximately 600 million Christians are somewhat involved in evangelism. I know the figures may be too huge for you to, you know, ascertain what is happening. But this is what it means. In every 12 to 13 people, there is just one person who somewhat is given to evangelism. So, 13, just one person. Now the place is very quiet. Now, it's concerning to know that not many people understand evangelism and are interested in the act of doing it. Now, even, you know, as a pastor, you know, I read from a survey how that only 13% of pastors say their churches patronize outreach or evangelistic activities. 13% out of 100% patronize outreach or evangelistic activities. And it's said that the art of evangelism is worldwide a Sith responsibility. If you put all churches together, evangelism is Sith generally. So while some pastors may say, God has called me to teach leadership, so it means that leadership is number one, right? Yeah, for me it's not leadership. God has called me to preach prosperity. Prosperity maybe less, I mean prosperity will be number one. Because people don't care about leadership, they care about money. So prosperity number one, leadership number two, right? Oh, me, God has taught me to teach the mystical happenings of the Orions and the Tumims. So we'll put the three. So everybody seems to have something that they major on. Or, I think my church is a musical church. So more music. When I come to stand here, I just teach you for 30 minutes. 30 minutes. Oh, there are things like that. You're not a pastor, so you don't know. There are things like that. People who believe that God's word should be taught maximumly 30 minutes. So when I stand there, I box everything, I give it to you in 30 minutes. 30 minutes, you're done with the sermon. If you go 35 minutes, you see, get ready to rumble. Because the people are watching their times. So they believe that 30 minutes is okay for the word of God taught on the pulpit. And that's quite serious. Who learns anything tangible in 30 minutes? Even your school that you go to, do you learn things for 30 minutes? Do you know what makes it worse? It's 30 minutes on a cold Sunday morning. So you just feed your spirit. 30 minutes, you are done. Then the next time you're coming to church is another Sunday, coming to take a 30 minute sermon or 30 minutes teaching. Say, Pastor, can't the Holy Spirit work within 30 minutes? Of course he can. Why doesn't he work within 30 minutes in your lecture halls? This is quite interesting, you know, and you are just studying psychology. If you are studying psychology. I didn't intend to. But I'm just trying to say that psychology is a segment of God's wisdom. What we do here is the entirety of God, what God wants in the whole earth. What you are doing is just, you know, like a seed drop of God's wisdom. But you want to use 3 hours for that. You go to class 8 in the morning. You close by 2 or 3. But then the God who has all that he has, builds the world, has his creation in the world, you want to use 30 minutes to understand him. So you see, it doesn't help. Right? So 13% of pastors say their churches patronize outreach or evangelistic activities is ranked sixth among key church functions. Of course, which needs very serious improvement. Only 1% can evidently say that their churches are very effective at evangelism. 1%. I put 6 different references together for this, just in case you think it's not true. It's actually true. And then 10% rate themselves as excellent in evangelism, like the pastors themselves, when you gather, pastors ourselves, when you gather us, only 10% out of the 100% can say excellently that when I meet a soul, I know what to say to the soul. You know, God has made you a leader. No, not that. He has made you prosperous. Not that exactly. You'll be shocked. 3 scriptures on salvation. You'll see fumbling. Not money, not, oh God, Jabez, expand my, no, not that one. Salvation, raw salvation. We are preaching salvation. We'll mark your salvation script. So, it's quite a concern. Many pastors believe in evangelism and participate occasionally. Occasionally. There are some people who believe that evangelism is, I mean, if you're going to be effective at something, you're going to, would you want to give it a once in a month activity? Like you go for it once in a month. Or probably once in a quarter. You hide trucks. Evangelism 2026. You hide trucks, then you have t-shirts. Evangelism 2026. Market storming. Then you hide brass band. Oh, what I'm saying, is it an exaggeration? It's not, I'm not exaggerating. Exaggerating. You just hide. Then you see people on the track, then they are waving, Jesus loves you. Then we go and make placards. One person stands at Kanishi, another stands at the traffic light, another stands at the runabout. And when you stop and say, can you preach what is there to me? You say, just look on it. just look. Or you don't understand. You say, I understand. So you see that sometimes I look at it and I think about it, I'm like, it's not supposed to be exactly like this. You don't need all of those for evangelism. Jesus never did any of that, and he never needed any of those. If he didn't need it, you don't need it. We found him doing it consistently and continually. Meanwhile, this is that key instruction that Jesus gives to his church. So, what is the church actually doing? Now, I'm saying this not because I speak about someone's church. It's so you would relate it to what we do as a church in reference to what Jesus wants us to do. Are you listening? Yes. Of course, he's told his disciples in Matthew chapter 28. Tells them to go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Then he tells them how, teaching them to observe all things. Then in Mark 16, he tells them, go and preach. Go ye therefore and preach the gospel to every creature. So in a summary, Jesus' emphasis was to preach and teach. You can look at that in Matthew 6, 28, verse 19 to 20, and then Mark 16, verse 15 to 18. These were Jesus' marching orders for his church. These were Jesus' marching orders for his church. And I want to tell you, he has not, you know, when you buy Aquila Edition 1, they have something called a revised standard edition, which means that what has been said, there is a lot more that has been added to it, right? With a lot more examples, it's revised, it's standard, it goes past the original writing. I had some materials like that, some Kenneth Hagin materials are actually revised. You know, they write it better. Then they even add a lot of quizzes to it to help you understand what you are doing. But Jesus' instructions are not revised. They are not revised. They are standard 2,000 years ago, and they are standard today. Standard 2,000 years ago, standard today. Look at John chapter 20. John chapter 20. John chapter 20. And we're reading from verse 21. See, it has not changed. Are you listening? It has not changed. The same work he has given to us is the work we will be on. That's if you would have the desire. It's the same work. You don't graduate. You don't become too fatherly to do it. Are you older than Jesus? King of kings, Lord of lords. He's that eternal God. So it's that same work. And I'd like you to have that mentality. That you will keep at it the same. There will be additions, but you will keep at it the same. The church has to know. She has to keep at it the same. Don't change it. Don't alter it. Don't try to revise. It's already standard. Don't add to it. Don't subtract from it. So in John chapter 20, verses 21, then said Jesus to them again, peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. And when he had said this, he breathed on them and said unto them, receive ye the Holy Ghost. Peace be unto you, as my Father hath sent me, even so I send you. So Jesus was sent by his Father. And he tells his disciples, the same thing you saw me do, that my Father sent me to do, is the same thing that I sent you to do. What do we find Jesus doing? He's preaching, he's teaching, he's healing all that were sick and oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. So it's not going to change. Many times you think it's going to change. There's something that is going to change. It's not going to change. The church must keep her focus on what Jesus Christ has instructed her to do. It's not going to change. And if he has sent his disciples in the same way, since we are his disciples, it is important that we treat this heavenly assignment with the same reverence and respect. Reverence and respect. And of course, if we're going to be treating this with reverence and respect, we cannot despise evangelism. Tell your brother, say, brother or sister, say, you cannot. Say, you cannot. Despise evangelism. Tell him, sister. Brother. Say, you cannot despise evangelism. Say, evangelist. Is the person responding? So there is such a thing as evangelism. Of course, the teller is going to be the evangelist. Let's see something in Acts 21. In Acts 21. Precious Holy Spirit, thank you for your grace. Acts 21, verses 8. Acts 21, verses 8. Acts 21, verses 8. And the next day, we that were of Paul's company departed and came unto Caesarea and entered into the house of Philip, the evangelist, which was one of the seven and abode with him. So there is something called an evangelist. Now we're going to get into, not today, the office, but then I'm trying to help us see that there's just something called an evangelist who happens to be the teller. Then there is an art, which is evangelism, right? Look at 2 Timothy. Paul is giving an instruction, an important instruction to Timothy. And he's saying something to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verses number 5. But watch thou in all things. You know, I am biased. I think I really love Paul's writings to Timothy. Yeah. Cause they helped me. One time I remember I was going for a meeting somewhere and the meeting was at a strange place. So I wasn't too sure. You know, there are meetings like that where you're like, Lord, are you going to be in the meeting? Because the meeting is going to be at a strange place. Like, Lord, you really have to move in this place. If you don't move in this place, oh boy, you and I, we are all going to be hot. Yeah. So I was just telling God. So I remember just picking my Bible. And the first place I opened to, it was in the morning. I remember so clearly. Neglect not the gift which is in thee. Something was just stirred up on the inside of me. I was like, neglect not. It means that he's giving it to you. Don't neglect it. You're supposed to use it. Stir it up. It's going to work. So I just got up. I said, okay, I'm going to stir it up. So spend some time just praying in the spirit. Then I got into the meeting. I saw like I've never seen in my life before. Yeah. So those epistles, they bless me a lot. I just read them. And I think this is also a blessing. 2 Timothy 4 verse 5. We're getting into it. But thou, watch thou in all things, endure what? Afflictions. Oh, that means the minister is going to have afflictions. But he's not saying that. God's going to save you from those afflictions, you know. He says, endure. And some of us don't know how to endure afflictions. The least affliction, Lord, where are you? Lord, you have to prove to me that you are God. Because we're not enduring afflictions. There are hard times that come. And you must be able to endure. So, Paul is telling Timothy, endure hard times. There are afflictions. He didn't say God will save you from it all. The afflictions are there. You are in the affliction. You are both swimming together in the affliction. Then he now says, endure those afflictions. Endure those afflictions. Endure those afflictions. Then he now says, do the work of an evangelist. Do the work of an evangelist. We could also say do the work of evangelism. Do the work of an evangelist. Today's, you know, Christianity, people always like it, you know, very soft. It's like we always want it very calm. Anyway, let me not veer off. Maybe we'll look at that later. Suffering. No, this one is not suffering to end up. It's suffering. Suffering. See, that guy is preaching suffering. Sha. Ba. Ya. Ta. So, there is something called evangelism. So he says, do the work of an evangelist. Or be given to the art of evangelism. It means that there's a skill to this. There's a work. A work requires a skill. A work requires a skill. You need to be skilled. You need to be skilled. You need to be skilled. Of course, if you can be skilled, it means you can be taught to be effective at it. Again in Mark 16 verse 15, and he said unto them, go ye into the world and preach the gospel to every creature. Go and preach. Go and preach. Now, do you remember the statistics I gave you? Does it look like the church is living via the instructions of Jesus? Of course not. If 1% can be very sure that my church is very effective at evangelism, that is something to be very concerned about. So he says, go ye and preach. Preach. Now the word preach there is simple. It means to announce. To announce, to herald. You're announcing an event or you are heralding an event. Of course, an event that has happened in the past or in the future. So, we can say that Jesus' words will be to go into all the world and announce, what are you going to be announcing? The gospel. So there's going to be an announcing of the gospel. You know, sometimes, say, JHS or primary. Hello class. Sir said.
You know, those ones with the glasses in the class. They always bring back says responses. Announce. They say he's standing there. He has not remembered the homework. Sir, sir. That's announce. Sir. Sir, yesterday, then you see the whole class, oh. Announcement. 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 I had friends like that, actually. But funny enough, the one who used to be first in my primary school days was not very loud. She was very quiet. So like, hey. She whipped all of us. Yes. We couldn't overthrow her. But she never announced, so but there is that announcer. They are around 7th, 8th. Yeah. 7th, 8th. Thereabout. The day they get 5th, the class is in trouble. They change their shoe, change their socks. So that's an announcer. He tells the events. You people, you like a lot of stories. Oh boy. So, back to our conversation. There's an announcer. So he tells us, go ye therefore into all the world and preach. The word preach there is to announce. What are you going to be announcing? You're going to be announcing the gospel. That's what you're going to be announcing. You have to know what you are announcing. And you have to know it well. So you can announce well. And you don't announce people into hellfire. Sorry to say. So, to preach means that I announce the gospel. Now, the gospel are made up of, or the gospel is made up of a series of events. The gospel is made up of a series of events. The gospel is made up of a series of events. It means that in my preaching, I announce the events of the gospel. To preach it means that I herald, I speak of, I tell of those events of the gospel. So the gospel has events. And to be a good announcer, I speak of those events. Now, the manifestation of those, of that gospel in lives is going to be seen via my preaching. Go to Titus. Go to Titus. Titus, just 2 Timothy, next one. Because you may miss it, it's just one flip. So Titus chapter 1, verse 3. But hath in due times manifested his word through what? Preaching. Which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God our Savior. The manifestation of his word is through what? It's through preaching. That's how he manifests his word. It's going to be through what? Preaching. 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 Not dance. Entertainment. Not movies. Say, we are going to Saboba. Say, to do what? Oh, we are evangelists. Then we now go and say, today is Jesus movie. Right? Today is Jesus movie. Now, watching Jesus movie is not wrong. But Jesus movie is made up of so many things that can be picked from that story. Do you understand what I'm saying? Yes, Jesus' movie, there are so many things that you can pick. It's just like a movie. If you ask everybody, what did you see in the movie? You'll be shocked. You'll be shocked. Of course, there's going to be someone that the story plays around. But you'll find some people who do not even see that person, who take an interest in another character of the movie. So, we must be careful what we call evangelism. Now, I say this because it's ABC of evangelism. And we need to pay attention to these basics. So, Paul is writing to Titus and he's telling him, but in due times manifested his word through what? Through preaching, which is committed unto me according to the commandment of God, our Savior. There's a preaching. There's an announcing, of course, via the lips of men. Because he's writing to a man. Do you understand that? So, if I'm going to be heralding the gospel, preaching, I'll have to use my lips in announcing the facts of the gospel. Say, you know what? Say, yes, Pastor, I have an idea. Mm-hmm. Pastor, if we have a movie acting group, then those movie acting groups are even funny sometimes. How you say, you see Jesus, that is something. See him carrying the cross like this. I actually acted something like that when I was in church. I was, you can ask my grandmother. When my grandmother saw me, she said, man. Was I Jesus or I was one of the, it's like Jesus or one of the thieves. Well, I can't really remember. But I was something significant in the acting. See me, but I was acting Sunday school, right? So those things are not wrong. I don't have a problem with that. We must just give them their rightful place. We don't act here. So if you act somewhere else, I don't really have a problem. So it's going to be shared through what? Preaching. See Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Romans chapter 10, verse 13. Preaching. Someone was telling me a story that someone amongst us caught some people and preached to them. And I was like, is that so? So yes, caught them and preached to them. I was like, oh, that's really good. But the people were supposed to be preaching, but they were not preaching. So when he caught them and preached to them. I just don't want to mention anybody's name. So imagine people who are supposed to be preaching, but then they don't know that preaching is essential. So you catch them, then you preach to them, then you get them born again. And not just born again, you get them filled in the Holy Ghost as well. So I was like, oh, that's good. That's good. Preaching. It's not saying, church, we can really, the place is entertaining. You know, some people can come to church and say that the church, they pray too much. Say, huh? I was speaking to someone over the weekend. She said, you pray too much. I was like, oh, just 40. The prayer is not long, just 40 minutes. It's not even 1 hour. Previously, it was 1 hour. And I saw that people were not. So I just said, let me be a benevolent pastor. Let me cut 20 minutes. Then I give you 20 minutes to rest. But still, someone will be preaching. Someone will be standing there. It's too long. It's not long. It's not long. Sometimes I just trust God that we get to see the importance of sticking with God's word entirely. Because that's what brings in all the mess. When we try to improvise certain things. So, there is preaching. So in Romans chapter 10, verse 13, for whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There are people who call upon the name of the Lord. Then he now said, Paul is asking the church, how shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? Do we see that what Paul is writing about is people who hear, right? From the lips of the preacher, right? Then he now says, how shall they hear without a preacher? So there is a hearing, then there is a preacher. Of course, he's going to be preaching through his lips. Now, there are other means of propagating the gospel, but let's not lay emphasis on that first off. I'm going to add that in a later conversation. But then we see that the manifestation of God's word is going to be by preaching. The people are going to hear by preaching. Of course, the one that is going to be preaching is who we call the preacher man. Preacher man is whether woman or man, please. So, there has to be somebody that steps out. There has to be somebody that stands somewhere to preach. There just has to be someone. Now, Paul is saying, how shall they hear this gospel without a preacher? Something as important as the salvation of men, committed to men, to preach. How shall they hear without a preacher? And of course, we are those preachers today. God is counting on us to stand as preachers of the gospel. We're going to look at the facts of the gospel soon. But then he says, people will have to stand and announce to others who have not believed. So we can say that simply, we're talking about the ABC of evangelism, that evangelism is letting men know what the gospel of Jesus Christ is. There's going to be an announcing of the gospel to people who are not saved. Letting men know that eternal life is available to all who believe. Let's go back to 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. 2 Timothy. Chapter 1. Verse 10. But is now made manifest by the appearing of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who hath abolished death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel of Jesus. Through the gospel of Jesus. So he brings life and immortality to life as we preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. So all men who believe in what we preach receive eternal life. Because like we will say in John chapter 3 verse 16, how that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So God's love, his giving, which is his begotten son, and what the people receive when they receive his love by believing in the one that was given, which is Jesus Christ. So in John 3:16, the gospel is boxed nicely in there. It's actually the most common phrase. KG1, KG2, KG3, the whole world, John 3:16, savior of the world, Jesus. Very common. Even the Muslim who doesn't believe it can still quote it. That should tell us how beautiful this message is. So, there is going to be someone that preaches the gospel. Look at Acts chapter 26. And, of course, the tenets of what the person preaches is going to be God's love in that he gave his only begotten son. Of course, the activities of what he gave is that his son will come as a man. He will die. He will be buried. And on the third day, he's going to resurrect again. That is what he gave his son for. He didn't give his son for so many other things people think he gave his son for. He gave his son that his son will come as a man. That's how he gave him up. His son will come as a man. His son will die as a man. His son will be buried. His son will resurrect. That's God giving his son. And, you know, sometimes it's a great sacrifice for God to be in the flesh. You just think about it. Think about the flesh. You always have to be buffing. Brushing. Can you imagine that you build a whole house, then you put a WC for waste because you are a man? That's what it means to be man. You have a room, you say, design the WC like this one. That's what it means to be man. You have to be eating. Like, if you are not fasting, morning, you have to eat something. You don't eat something, you see that you start sweating. You start sweating. Start sweating. Say, what is wrong? Say, Get me rash. That's what it means to be a man. Even one time I was there, I said, I was thinking of being a man. I said, why must you even sleep? Like, you have to actually like, you don't know how important, you have to, you know, those of you who have beds, you have a bed already there, so you jump onto the bed. Those of you who have mattresses, you spread the mattress so this mortal body can lay somewhere. You have no idea what it means to be a man. Then God decides to become one of us. Do you know where he left? To be here. And he's gone back. It's a very great sacrifice, you may not know. He became thirsty like all of us would. You're thinking, aren't you? You are. That's how important it is. So God giving and coming in himself, of course, as his son, is what he's called. But he's actually God in himself. God in the flesh is Jesus. And so he comes in as himself. Then he subjects himself to all of this. You know, a man will say, Makumahame, Makumahame. You know what it means? I get angry easily. Makumahame, Makumahame. Then Jesus also, Nakuma, he enters and he sees his father's temple. Then his kuma is tearing him up. Lashes everybody, sends everybody out. You know, I heard a story where, you know, a brother walked to a man of God. Said, man of God. So the man of God said, what is it, brother? Said, this fornication. I want to castrate. He said, allow me to castrate. The man of God said, don't castrate. Allow me to castrate. He said, so why do you want to castrate? He said, when I see women, man of God, I want to castrate. But that is what it means to be a man, right? And to have the flesh more heightened. Right? You have to sleep, you have to eat, you have to, drink, brush, bath. You see, cut your hair. Go to the salon because you leave it somewhere, the pungent smell that's going to be evolving from that hair. It's quite some emphasis. But then, God gave himself as man. So, in Acts chapter 26 verse 16, because like I said, you're going to be proclaiming life to them. You let the unbeliever, know that they can receive eternal life. In Acts chapter 26 verse 16, Jesus is telling Paul another important thing we should pay attention to. But arise and stand upon thy feet, for I have appeared unto thee for this purpose, to make thee a minister and a witness both of these things which thou hast seen and of those things in which I will appear unto thee, delivering thee from the people and from the Gentiles unto whom I now send, to open their eyes, to turn them from darkness to light. That's what happens. People receive forgiveness of sins. He says, and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance amongst them which are sanctified in the saints. In our preaching of the gospel, we let the unbeliever know that they can receive forgiveness of sins. And they can be turned from darkness to what? To light. And from the power of Satan to the power of what? God. Now this is so important to God. So important to God. So important to God. So men are in darkness. He wants these men turned from darkness to light. Men are under the bondage of Satan. He wants these men turned from the bondage of Satan to be free. It matters to God. The conversation we are having now, it probably most essentially, is going to be something that God calls you to do and myself. You know, something came into my head because I remember the song. I went to a place. I said, Bob, Billy Wallanga. I said, how was church? Wow! Church! I love that church. Like, you know, the way they are very active. Hey, oh boy. God is telling you 10 people from darkness to light. You are Billy Wonanga. Some of you don't know Billy Wonanga. It's not, only few people can know what I'm talking about. Then they like the song so much, so they twitch it. They say, Yeshua Ebi is not, that's not the song. That's not the song. The song is not Yeshua. The song is, it's a dangerous song. Oh, whoa, whoa. So they try to like say, this one is turning men from darkness into twilight. Do you know twilight? It's twilight. The light is not really light. It is like we have moved from darkness, but at least we still want to do the things we want to do. What we are saying is it's not that funny, yo. I always think of standing before Jesus. I always think about it. That's why I do things in a certain way. Yeah. That's why I do things in a certain way. Because I don't have a mind that, you know, we're just doing it. I have a mind that there is one day God is going to ask you. I always have that mind. So everything I do, someone say, Pastor is very, he likes it to be done. That's because I don't want to do it any other way. And many times we don't pay attention to it. If you judge yourself, you will not have yourself judged so much because you have already judged yourself. I learned that from Kenneth Hagin. You judge yourself so that you say, no, this thing, are you doing it the way he wants you to do it? Some of us don't even know that the men we preach to, the men we disciple, are people he expects us making sure they turn out to a particular way. We forget about that. We just feel like it's something we just stumble across. That's not the case. Anybody he gives to you to disciple, anybody he gives to you to go out to preach to, because we're not talking about discipleship, he has a specific intent for that individual. You're supposed to make sure it comes to pass. So when we have this mind, it helps us to take things more seriously. Helps us to take things more seriously. We see things more further than people will see. It's like you think a little bit further. You think a little bit further. You know, a great man of God had a vision. He had written a lot of books. And you know, there are visions like that. And he said that he stood before the Lord Jesus. And he had a lot of writings. He had a lot of books. So he now asks that, hey, so my books, Jesus Christ, how is my book faring according to you? Jesus says, I don't know of anything that you have done. I don't know of any book that you have written. He said, Lord, I've written a lot of books. Those books are useless. They are useless. They are useless books. They don't count. They don't mean anything to me. So when I saw that vision, you see me, I'm very smart. When I saw that vision, I said, that means, I don't know if I'll write a book, but if I write a book, I'll put a lot of scriptures inside. You see, so that it will be comparatively the same. You see? When you compare it, it will be like a secondary Bible. Bible is primary. Maybe secondary. So when I stand before him, say, I don't know your book. I say, Lord, you know my book. You know my book. You know my book. See, John 3:16. It's the same thing there. I just added my own story. But it's the same thing there. You know my book. How can you say you don't know my book? Huh? You are writing e-commerce, finances, what? He says he doesn't know your book. You are sending church people. He doesn't know your book. He doesn't know your book. He doesn't know your preaching. He doesn't know your preaching. He doesn't know your preaching. Your preaching that you stand. He says, yes, today we are. He doesn't know it. You are thinking what you are doing. Does he know your preaching? 51 blessings for 51 days. Stand before you, see what I'm talking about. He doesn't know it. He doesn't know it. Your choreography, he doesn't know it. He doesn't know it. So when I say, oh, that's it. You see, me, I don't need to have my own vision. I learn from everybody's vision. If I see a vision, Kenneth Hagin's vision, Jesus walks in, tells him purposes of meetings. I don't need to have a vision like that of Jesus coming to me. I just take what I see because it's valid, it's legitimate. And you pattern your life after. You say you will not be laboring in vain. Yeah, not be laboring in vain. So you see that there are a lot of things that are happening. We must pay attention carefully. Say, God has sent you to raise millionaires. Did you see him raising millionaires? When you stand before him, you say, did you see me raising millionaires? That's your sole vision. Yeah. To have Christ-like millionaires. We are smart, so we Christ-like millionaires. If you are really a very serious person, wouldn't you have, you see, the millions in currency, what we have as millions will be in souls. That's what becomes relevant to him. It's a Christ-like millionaire. That's all. Then the millionaire is actually the central vision of the church. Say, I'm a millionaire. You are what? Say, preach, you can't preach. Huh? That's just by the way anyway, I'm just sharing with you my thoughts. Are those good thoughts? My thoughts which are actually wise in the way of God. Let me put it that way, because I don't have any thoughts of my own. So, Paul is sent to teach, to minister, to open their eyes and to turn them from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive forgiveness of sins and inheritance among them which are sanctified by faith. Amongst them which are sanctified by faith. Why is this art so important? Of course, because people are going to be turned from darkness to light. People are going to be turned from darkness to light. And it is the will of God. It is the will of God. It is the will of God. You know, a man of God called me. And I picked the call. He's not someone who I'm very familiar with. And he said, man of God. I said, yes. He said, I want to share with you something. I said, okay, share with me. Then he said, I just woke up from a dream. Listen to what he was saying. I don't normally share this particular story. And he said that, I mean, he's way mature than I am. And he said that, I found myself in a place and a man spoke to me, which he believed was the Lord. And he told him, he said, pay attention to Pascal's ministry. But it does not look like it's very important. And he was telling me. He was telling me. So it means that You should pay attention to what he's doing, what he's saying. That is it. Pay attention to it. So, why are we doing what I'm doing? Because I want to make sure that everything that we do is with respect to his word. Are you listening? So,